Well, it is a Saturday night, November 16th, here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Rick Uchino and Krista, the star, here with you guys. We are rocking the free bird rule again this week for the AEW Collision post show. Last week, Krista was out, Iridian was in. They've decided to tag each other and flop each other out, and we are ready to rock and roll here tonight. Krista, I missed you last week. How are you?
I am doing better. Last week, I just randomly got sick, but I am alive, Rick. I feel like... We rarely do shows together, just me and you and me.
I'm like Leo Rush. Like, I'm on fire right now. 3 weeks in a row. Like, I'm here. I'm rocking and rolling, and we're good to go. I almost wasn't gonna be here. Luckily, UC football got scheduled for 8 o'clock, so I didn't have to do radio duties tonight. So I could be here talking about professional wrestling, because that's what I would much rather be doing than talking about anything else on this planet. So I'm very, very happy to be here on a Saturday night here on the Fightful YouTube channel. Make sure to give this video a like. Make sure to subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already. And we appreciate everybody who is joining us here in the chat. Already getting off to a great start. Get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. That's the only guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air. And our expert moderator Luis is going to make sure I read every single one of those damn things before we get off of the air tonight. And Krista, Tony Khan put on this show for us tonight. For us, he listened to my criticism last week, where we had literally like 10 seconds of women's wrestling, and he decided he was going to open the show and close the show with the ladies tonight. So I appreciate you, Tony Khan, for listening to constructive criticism and coming through with a much better effort for women's wrestling tonight. We open up with Mina Shirakawa and Harley Cameron, and this one, look, I'll be honest, like, if you look at these two on paper, Mina has 10 times the amount of in-ring experience as Harley Cameron does. We're talking like over 500 matches compared to not even 50 yet. This matchup was so much better than it had any business being, because you have to give credit to Harley Cameron. She continues to just go into these matches utterly fearless, no hesitation. She was able to match Mina's pace tonight. There was no having to slow down, no half speed, no nothing. She went in there, and she not only did she keep up, but she looked more than competent in the process. Mina's offense, incredibly fun to watch. She's always great. I'm happy that she's back here in AEW, but hats off to Harley Cameron. Of course, Mina won the match. Mina was always going to win this match, but I am really looking forward, Krista, to seeing where Harley Cameron is a year from now. Because if she's staying on this pace, they got something with her.
No, absolutely. I mean, I've been following Harley a little bit more closely, seeing her interviews with RJ, or just seeing stuff on social media where she's like, I've grown so much as a wrestler, just being around Saraya, being in AEW. And honestly, no matter how you feel about Harley Cameron, you can't say she's not giving it up in the ring. This match tonight was really good. I have to say, that slide through that Mina did from through Carly Cameron's legs to the, it was so cute. I think Mina Shirakawa is such a cute wrestler. Like, she'll beat you up. Don't get me wrong. She's a stiff wrestler, but she's also something very so super cute. Like, you don't expect her to beat the crap out of you. This match was fine. Like you said, we always knew Mina was going to win, but I have to, every time I see Harley on my screen, I'm like, come on, Harley Cameron, you're eating that. Come on, girl. Hard work pays off, y'all.
Yeah, look, to your point about Mina, she's the kind of woman that will, like, whoop your ass, and then you apologize to her for her hand hurting, right?
Exactly, like- exactly. I'm so sorry that I made you do
this. I'm sorry my face is there. I'm sorry you're hitting me so hard that it's hurting your hand.
I feel like I should give you money for this somehow, too. I don't know why.
Hey, there's some dudes out there, and probably some women who would give her money for that, to be completely honest, because we all got our freaks in life, and you know, that's just speaking the absolute truth there. A couple of super chats here. We got Adina Leah Chamberlain. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly or not, but Harley Cameron is the most unexpected improvement of the year for me. Hard to believe we're here now after all the QTV stuff. Look, this was her 49th match. That's it. That's all she's got. She's been wrestling since 2022, and she's in there with Mina Shirakawa, and she's just straight hanging.
She was with QTV. You know, that's how much she's improved. I forgot that's where she came from. I was like, you know, she's always been with the Outcast. No, she wasn't. You're right.
No. And I was genuinely concerned for her, because she was with the she was doing the QTV stuff, and then, you know, QT kind of left. He all came back, but he's still just doing the mostly the backstage stuff. I know he's wrestling the Costco boys next week, but you know, I was scared for her because Saraya's contract was coming up, and I'm like, oh, if she leaves, this is Harley Cameron now in 2 years, her second stint, gimmick, group, whatever, she would have to just be completely dropped flat on. But Saraya resigned, but they're still sticking with it, even though we haven't seen Saraya in a while, though. So I continue to look forward to see what Harley does moving forward here. We got
another... Cameron's music is just Saraya's music at this point.
I know.
The other way around. You know what I mean?
She's still the understudy. Yeah, she's still the understudy. she's got great charisma too. Like, she knows how to perform when she's wrestling. It's not just the moves. So she knows how to tell a story in there. She's got great energy. Like, seriously, if she stays on this track, they got something with her. Okay. Just Ricardo with a super chat. It is Saturday. You know what that means? It means he's at work. Well, I'm sorry you're at work, but I appreciate you giving us a little bit of your hard earned dollars there. So yeah, I'm at work right now. Too. I work every night. I work every day. Pretty much. Our second matchup was Danny Garcia against Johnny TV. MXM Collection was at ringside for this one. And honestly, Cresta, for me, they were the stars of the match. Like, don't get me wrong, the match was good. Of course it was going to be good. It's Danny Garcia, it's Johnny TV. Both those guys know what they're doing. But Mason and Mansoor are going to just steal the show wherever they are, especially after Mason hit the choke slam on Danny. And then immediately, like, did the lay down thing. And he's like, got the camera right up. He's like, what? I didn't do anything. I just look good. Like, it just like. And then Danny kicks out, and you just hear him go, what? He kicked out? Like, the audacity in that man's voice. Yes, Danny Garcia won the matchup in the end. He overcame the 3-on-1. Mason is so extra, and he just owns this role. Like, even when Daniel threw him off of the ring post and he did the. Like, oh my God, and just fainted down to the ground. Like, seriously, I could watch 2 hours of the MXM collection, and I'm not like shame free. I could just watch a whole entire collision of just them putting over their fall line or their winter line, because we had that AEW shop teaser with them. Whatever they do, they maximize their minutes, and they're so damn good.
I have to tell you. When Daddy Magic spoke the prophetic words many moons ago, sports entertainment, that's when MXM was born. Because honestly, this is MXM with Johnny TV. I could not have imagined a more perfect trios partner. So I'm going to give this all the respect it deserves. So let me break this down for you in 3 parts. Part number one, MXM has the same problems Outrunners have. You guys are just too damn powerful. You're too damn powerful. You're fantastic. No matter what you do, you add to it. And personally speaking, I don't think y'all should be beefing with Daniel Garcia, because I see a world where Daniel Garcia is out here in the MXM model show. Let's talk about this match. This match was really fantastic. I think it's very easy to forget how athletic Johnny TV is because of all the comedy he does. He's such a good wrestler. Such a good wrestler against Daniel Garcia. Last act of this, I will also say, Jack Perry, you're a piece of crap. Not you abducting Daddy Magic.
I was going to say, and that's part of the reason why, like, I'm sitting here and I'm going, the match was good, but nothing really stood out from the match to me because MXM steals the show. And then clearly this was a storyline-driven situation where Jack Perry just shows up and just abducts Daddy Magic from the commentary table in the middle of the damn match.
Which was so funny. And I do think it was well done because, I mean, not for nothing, Jack Perry in his New Japan run was real cute. The scapegoat, in my opinion, really turned that character to where it needed to be. Now he's just been kind of like, I'm not doing anything. You're not ready. So this, like, okay, kidnapping is a felony. So you might want to lay low. However, they did get their comeuppance, but also their comeuppance is kind of a felony too. So y'all might all want to lay low. So,
yeah. So we get this back. This was honestly the segment of the night for me. We get this backstage segment where after Danny wins, we see Jack Perry. He's beating up Daddy Magic backstage. So they run back. Daniel runs backstage to get him, and by this point Daddy Magic has been chained to the back of the bus and he is about to get dragged. He is about to get dragged in the literal sense behind this short bus that Jack Perry drives around. Daniel Garcia makes the save. And both he frees Daddy Magic. They both start kicking up, kicking and beating on Jack Perry. And we just hear Daddy Magic say, "I have an idea." And then he grabs the camera and we go to commercial break. And I'm just sitting here and I'm like, oh no.
Oh, what, yes.
what could this idea possibly have been? Thankfully, we didn't have to wait long. We come back from commercial break. Cresta, they chained this man to the hood of the bus and started driving through the streets of Albany with him on top. These men are crazy AF.
That was very, it was such a New York interaction with Daddy Garcia wrote up, like, yeah, found you, got you, aha, where you going? It was so, and then to chain him up, which I wrote in my notes to his felony van, because it looks like you're about to commit a felony or you're on your way to do one in that van. Yeah. Mm. Okay, he was about to drag this man. I understand where you're going, but yeah, this, either way, putting this man to the roof, I was sports entertained. But again, that's a felony. You might want to lay low, pal. That was, this segment was great. This segment was great. I'm sorry Jack Perry had to die. I'm sorry Daddy Magic almost died, but like, that's great. I was sports entertained.
My only complaint is I wanted a third segment. I was craving a third segment.
Great, I thought we were going to get that all the way at the end after the match, and we still had like 10 minutes. I was like, oh, so we're going to see if they bury Jack Perry. Okay, I'm with it. Oh,
I was so confused at the end of the show tonight.
Sports confused. I was sports confused.
Like, the main event ends, and there's 13 minutes left in the show, and I'm like, are we getting a 13-minute video package with John Mott? We didn't. We ended up getting a 9-minute video package with Guns N' Roses and them just playing all the hits of how we got to full gear next week, which, okay, fine. But like, I really, really, really would have loved at the end of that, them showing more of Jack Perry being driven through the streets of Albany. Like, now I get there's some logistics probably with police and things, because I mean, that is a crime. So yeah, you know, it would have been hard to kind of pull that off. But you could have pulled it off, I'm sure. Just
all I'm thinking of is like, I don't remember if it was The Rock or if it was Stone Cold who threw Kurt Angle something in the river, or somebody threw Stone Cold bald by something got thrown in the river, and that's what they should have done.
No, you're thinking of Edge getting thrown into the Long Island Sound.
I'm sure more
people have, you know, been sucked in the water. That's the one that comes up top of my head. Is
I'm just thinking of somebody. It was a bald guy, and I don't know if it was Stone Cold or Kurt Angle on the side of the river, and they throw someone's thing in the water. I feel like it could have been The Rock. He would have been bald at that time. It was definitely during the WWF era. I'm also 9,000 years old. My brain is dust. So somebody correct me in the chat. I'm sure somebody else remembers what I'm talking about. Like, no, Cressy, you're an idiot, and that's fine. Engage with this video.
Hold on. The chat keeps bumping around. Smoking Skull Belt was thrown into the river.
And I also see Austin through the IC. Hey, listen, I knew you wrestling guys. That's why you all watch here on FIFO, because we're all a bunch of wrestling nerds and we all know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I also have a memory of a goldfish. So, you know, you start, it really has to make an impact for it to stick in my brain for longer than a week and a half. So you say get tossed in the river. I think Edge getting thrown in the Long Island Sound. So that's just where my mind ultimately went to.
Wrestling has us all messed up for different reasons.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Continue to get your super chats in and your humper chats in, guys. That is the guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air tonight as we continue to roll right through here with tonight's episode of AEW Collision. We had Shelton Benjamin in action against Commander. Look, Commander is great. The stuff that guy can do on the ropes, the balance he has, the athleticism he has, it's genuinely like annoying how good he is, right? Like it pisses me off how good that man is and the talent that the guy has. To me, this match was all about Shelton Benjamin. This man is wrestling motivated. It's like he is not messing around. He is coming here. He is in incredible shape. he does not move like a dude who's about to be in his 50s. He doesn't look like a dude who's about
not
to
at
be
all
in his 50s. He looks like he's got a lot left in the tank, on the bump card, whatever you want. I genuinely feel, Cresta, like I didn't know what to expect from Shelton Benjamin when he was brought into AEW originally. And I'm sitting here going, okay, he could be a good number two, you know, behind Bobby Lashley. Maybe they add somebody else to the group. Maybe he's in the tag team. There is no reason from what I've seen out of him thus far in AEW why he could not be a 1A to Bobby Lashley's one. You know what I'm saying? 1A, 1B, flip back and forth. TNT champion. I think maybe even AEW world champion down the line. Like the sky is literally the limit with this guy based off of how he's performing, how he looks. Age is just a number. And I agree with people in the chat. He is who we thought he was. And I don't know why WWE wasn't doing more with him or didn't do more with him in any of his stints in WWE, because he's so much better than what they used him for. And I'm happy and I'm hopeful that he's now going to be able to go on the run that he always should have had as a part of the Hurt Syndicate here.
I'll be real with you. It is, it is criminal how they underuse Shelton Benjamin. Like, I had to find the right words without getting demonetized and or banned.
Because you're not the only one who said that word, like, like almost the exact same time.
Like, it's so ridiculous that even if you were unfamiliar with Shelton's game because of how he was booked in the Federation, seeing him now, you're like, yo, you had this the whole time. This is the same way I felt about Ali. I knew Buddy Matthews had this in him because I seen a 205 live between him and somebody else. I want to say Cedric Alexander for the 205 live belt before they shut that purple brand down. And these guys are cooking. So you've got these men who can really wrestle, give it up, Shelton Benjamin included, and you do well with it. Commander, that standing moonsault from the top rope when you ran and you did it, that was beautiful. Picture perfect, paint a picture, mm-hmm. picture. But unfortunately, like Rick said, tonight was Shelton Benjamin's night, and he beat that man's ass. There's no nice way to say it. He beat up Commander. And it was good because Commander was selling, getting his offense in, and bless Alex Abrahantes at the end trying to save Commander from getting demasked, which was such a dick move, by the way.
Yeah, and kind of unnecessary. Like, I don't know what the whole point of that was, because, like, that's my only nitpick about this. I thought everything about the way this was booked was great until the after-the-match BS where MVP is just like, hey, grab his mask on our way out. And then Alex gets involved, and then Alex ends up getting clotheslined. Bless him. He wasn't in the best positioning for it, but he ends up getting clotheslined. He took the bump. MVP does the whole thing with the jacket. And he's like, all right, come on and F this mask. Forget that we were even doing that, even though you were wide open to take it anyway. Like that, I could
nitpick. We already know you're here.
I don't know if it was needed. I don't know if the
post I agree with that. Like, we get it. You're the bad guys. We get it. You didn't have to. I feel like if we're going to do taking a luchador's mask spot, let it mean something. It's been very overused to the point where it's like, now you're just being a dick. That's unnecessary roughness 10 yards. That's unnecessary. So let it mean something. Just don't do it for the gigs.
I mean, that's like kicking somebody's ass and then spitting on them afterwards, right? Like, that's what that is. Like, it's not necessary. It's just a dick move. Like, I don't know, like...
Face mask, 10 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're dead already. Just stop. Like, there's no need to disrespect them at this point. But I'm very excited for what they have in store for Shelton Benjamin. I genuinely believe he's going to be more than... Hey, the guy who stands behind Bobby Lashley while Bobby Lashley fights for the world titles and all that stuff. Granted, but Bobby Lashley's the one who's got the full gear match. So,
well, to be fair, AEW, to its detriment and to its plus, have a million titles. So he could be an international title. He could be an Owen Hart Cup winner. He could be a trio. There's a million things, and each title, in my opinion, all feels it. All of them feel important, except for the FTW Championship. Taz, please don't beat me up. I want no beef.
They retired that. They retired that, so it's not a thing anymore. So it's a thing, but it's not going to be taking up AEW TV time. So
okay, then that's fair. I think there are plenty of titles where he can feel important, and like you said, he's a good interchangeable. So if Bobby Lashley's like, yo, Shelton Benjamin could take it off of you, and he does. I'm not mad at Shelton Benjamin being a world title. Those promos would slap. He'd be so disrespectful. The only person who would be mad at a Shelton Benjamin, the only person who'd be mad at a Shelton Benjamin title run is Mia Yim.
My God, if you could actually burn Twitter to the ground, she would do it.
We know they love each other, but it's still funny. I think the only one who has to be mad be like, heck that guy.
Dante saying, I'm waiting for Ricochet to finally join them. It is going to be interesting to see, because MVP has been tossing out these business cards left and right to pretty much everybody, and they're really playing it up with Max Caster, who we'll talk about coming up here in a little bit. If you could pick one person, Cresta, to join up with them and turn the trio into a quartet, who would you like to see join that group?
This is going to be a hot take, especially from me to you, Rick, because we had this conversation offline before we got here. I think Max Caster is the best person to join that group, because Max Caster, something's got to give. Something's got to change. Something's got to give. And I think Ricochet, he's got a whole bunch of things set up for him, in my opinion. There's definitely a Kyle Fletcher and Aussie Open, a Will Ospreay match. There is 4,000. We chomping at the bit for a Will Ospreay match. That's in the pipeline. I think Max Caster right now is acting like a bad kid whose parent just needs to be like, yo, didn't I tell you don't touch that? All right, now we're going home. I think that'll be the best thing, because right now Max Caster is not in a lot of people's good graces. And I think this will be just the good U-turn that he would need. While Ricochet will be fine, I think Max Caster would benefit from it more. What about you? What do you think?
You know, there's a lot of people in the chat who are saying Powerhouse Hobbs, and
that's a lot of meat. That's gout.
I mean, God dang. Powerhouse Hobbs would be really, really good. But at the same time, I feel like all we've ever seen from Hobbs is him being the big guy in a group.
Agreed.
And I want to see him just stand on his own two feet and just decimate people like he did to Bear Bronson and the rest of the Iron Savages tonight. Like, Powerhouse Hobbs would be great. There's part of me who would think, you say benefit for Max Caster. Man, they're going to F around and they're going to accidentally make this group babyface, the Hurt Syndicate, because everybody wants to just see them destroy everybody. So you know what? Why not pull a 180, and why not have Anthony Bowens be the one that joins them?
I would not hate that. I just go back to, I think something right now, sorry, I'm still getting over whatever's going on with me.
Oh,
but I think right now the issue isn't so much the Acclaimed. I think it's the chemistry that what's going on with Max Caster. Maybe him and Bowens are fine. Maybe you guys are teasing a breakup, but he has a little bit from fans are like, ugh, Max Caster. If Anthony Bowens goes to the Hurt Business, I would not be mad at that. To me, Anthony Bowens screams babyface. I wouldn't mind him being the next up in that international championship situation. I think he'd be an amazing single star. If you put him with the Hurt Syndicate, I've never seen Bowens heel. I wouldn't hate it. Right now, it seems like Max would be the best person to do it. But I wouldn't be annoyed with that. I would like to see Anthony Bowens be a jerk. I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah. I think Leo Rush would be a nice addition too, by the way. He had another great promo from him tonight. He's a really underappreciated talent. I think he could add a lot to that group as well. We did hear from Chris Statlander tonight, but only briefly before she was interrupted by Hikaru Shida, who says she is really happy to see Chris Statlander get this shot against Mercedes Moné next Saturday night at Full Gear. Says that she is very, very glad to see someone whoop Mercedes. And this is a quote from her, Mercedes bony ass. And then Shida is the one who wants the first shot at Chris Statlander. Statlander says, you know what? That's a great idea. I have a better one. Why don't me and you wrestle on Wednesday instead? So we are going to be getting Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida as the tune-up match, Cresta, for Mercedes and Chris Statlander at Full Gear. So what a week for Chris Statlander. You get Shida on Wednesday and you get Mercedes on Saturday. That yes, sign me up.
Honestly, women's wrestling, I'm not mad at that. Listen, I may not be the biggest Shida fan, but that girl can wrestle. So can Chris Statlander. These girls can wrestle. I don't know if Statlander beats Mercedes at Full Gear. I do see a world where it happens so Mercedes can move into the women's main event scene. But I don't know, because I feel like we're holding out Mariah May for whenever Toni Storm gets back. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't see Mercedes losing that belt anytime soon. I don't know who takes it off of her, to be completely honest. I don't think it's Statlander, but I could be completely wrong. I wouldn't mind seeing Mercedes move up to the main event scene, but I also don't see that happening right now because I think there's a couple more ladies in the pike before that would happen. Real quick, let's hear from our good buddy Sean.
For years, you've seen BetOnline AG's odds on Fightful, whether it be wrestling, MMA, or boxing. That's who we trust. 25 plus years, they've been trusted online by millions. They've got a safe and secure environment. They've got payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the industry's best bonuses. Whether you want to play games, whether you want to bet on basketball, MMA, boxing, wrestling, baseball, hockey, anything, check them out. You may say, wait, you can bet on wrestling? Yes, you can bet on wrestling. We've been giving you betting odds on wrestling for so long and giving you some good underdog picks as well. I think we hit a 9 in our first few months just working with BetOnline AG. So check it out for yourself. Of course, we want you to only bet what you can and please bet responsibly. Check out our friends over at BetOnline AG.
Make sure to get those super chats in, get your humper chats in. Guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air before we head out tonight. Also, make sure to give this video a thumbs up. Make sure to subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel and subscribe to Fightful Select, best $5 in the business. You get all of Sean's reports directly to your email or up on Patreon, and you don't have to worry about any aggregation site getting shit wrong. You can hear it right from the horse's mouth or read it right from the horse's mouth. Tons of podcasts up there as well. It's the best $5 in honestly that you'll probably spend if you are a wrestling fan. So Fightful Select, subscribe now. We did see Powerhouse Hobbs back in action, talking about him just a few moments ago there, Cresta. He destroyed all of the Iron Savages. Like, this, I don't want to beat on a group. Iron Savages ain't for me. Talked about that ad nauseum last week with Iridian. But I will say, first singles win for Powerhouse Hobbs in 206 days, as Tony Schiavone said on commentary. Dude looks great. Fantastic shape. Hasn't lost a step. Quick, fast, powerful. Not in the Don Callis family anymore. I think a lot of things are looking up for Powerhouse Hobbs here. I just hope he gets a chance to do something substantive. And it's not just going to be like, I'm sure we're going to get a ton of this for a little bit. Uh-huh. We're going to get the, Let's build him up slowly. Let's feed him a bunch of guys who are lower down on the card, who haven't racked up a ton of wins, and we'll make him look really, really impressive. Hopefully sooner rather than later, though, he's getting some real competition and he's working his way up.
I agree. I think Powerhouse Hobbs looked great tonight. I don't in particularly dislike Iron Savages. I do wish that there was something for them to do. I think that they are very similar to what the premier athletes do, and in that same sort of realm, and there's like no real wiggle room. And I think that if we go back to that super meat division that I think that a group like that would thrive in that, or at least put them in the trios division. Come on now. As far as Hobbs is concerned, again, we go back to the international championship. There's a lot of things. There's a whole Lance Archer there. That's a meaty man. There's a whole Brian Cage there. And Brian Cage is a luchador. I know you may not have heard that before, but that man can move, okay? So there's a whole bunch of matches there if we're going to give him something, like you said, of sustenance to move forward. So I hope for the best. I still want to go to Titty City, but I also have a problem. So
I mean, look. Titties was the word of the night tonight between the opening contest and then we get the Iron Savages out there, and then we had the main event as well. But first we had the Acclaim taking on LFI. This was the final qualifier for Full Gear. The Acclaimed, who had a backstage segment with the Hurt Syndicate beforehand. You had MVP coming up there, giving Max Caster all the advice, saying, hey, use your strength. You know, Stick to your strengths in this matchup. You get big opportunity. Don't go out there and screw it up. They did not. They end up getting the win. Max would drop the mic drop on Beast Mortos. That allows Bowens to get the 1-2-3. I was a little surprised. I was a little surprised House of Black won on Wednesday, and we did not get FTR in this matchup. So I was thinking, okay, well, they're doing a lot of building toward the Acclaim. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a slam dunk that they end up in this matchup. Ultimately, they do get in. Cresta, do you think they made the right decision putting the Acclaimed in over LFI?
Yes, because somebody has to lose to Private Party. And that may sound mean, but listen, if I'm Private Party, I'd rather lose to the Acclaimed. The other way around, the Acclaimed, I'd rather lose to Private Party. Another AEW homegrown. It furthers their storyline, and listen, I would be remiss if I didn't say something about that rap. Listen, maybe sometimes we're memers who can rhyme, and maybe sometimes the meme goes too far. I want the best for Max Caster, and I live in the truth in the land of constructive criticism, if I'm going to offer anyone. And I'm just a jabroni with a microphone, you know. He's Max Caster and maybe he's podcaster, you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, I think maybe we should save the raps for special occasions when you really got heat on him. The Joe Hendry approach. You started doing it every week. It was cool. But tonight, I got to tell you, I got no notes on this because that rap really just took me out. I could take the president, whatever. But everything else, I'm not the directly affected party. But yikes. So, you know.
Wasn't a fan either.
If you want me to ghostwrite for you, I can hip hop too. But like, maybe we just say, you know, rhyming and memeing. Yeah, maybe we just save it. I would hate for Max Caster to have go away heat for real. You know what I mean?
But, you know, and judging. Look, at least with the online crowd. All right. The online community is different from the fans who aren't, you know, engaged in the IWC. Right. They react differently than the way that the folks online do. But the man is very, very quickly getting just a steamroll of, quote, go away heat. And I've long been a proponent that heat is heat no matter what, right? Baron Corbin back in his days when he had that go away heat.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes.
When he had that go away heat, I was one of those people saying he's getting booed. Who cares why he's getting booed? He's getting booed. But it just feels different with Max. It genuinely feels like there are just people who are annoyed that he gets up on their TV screens now. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you fix that. I don't know if there's a goal to fix that. It just seems like people are kind of tired of his shtick now. So it's up to AEW to kind of figure out what they want to do with him, what the goal with him is.
I think there's a way to fix it because there's still the Acclaimed has the same appeal that MXM has, the same appeal that the Outrunners have. There's a uniquely sports entertaining wrestling thing about it that can work. I just think that we scale back on the raps, maybe again, save it for pay-per-views and, you know, maybe not come for a group of people's throats. And if you already got to make it clever, because that wasn't clever. I'm just saying, maybe ask my friend.
Apparently, this thing got edited. Luis is in the chat saying this thing was edited. So they kept, what'd they take out?
Wait, oh, that's right. This was pre-taped. What'd they take out?
Oh, God. If that's what made the cut, good Lord.
I don't expect anyone to take the person who literally looks like the bad guy from Mulan right now seriously, but I'm just saying, like, maybe, you know, maybe.
I thought you were just doing I thought you were just cosplaying me, you know, with the,
it's No Shave November, but you also have a red beard and I figured we would just be in solidarity.
Oh gosh,
I see that... someone say they took out a Kamala Harris bar. It was still there. I heard it
there.
It
was one still there. Yeah. No, yeah, I stopped.
I don't even think that was the most offensive one, and that's the problem. I don't think that was the most offensive one. I think there's a fine line between being funny and offensive. And hey, I mean, you know that people will cook a Carlito. That's all I'm saying.
Like, yeah, you're not wrong. Like, you're going up against LFI. You're gonna drop a Sanctuary Cities line. Like,
yeah, really? I disgusting. Really?
come on. Like, there's trying to get heat, and then there's just distasteful. Like, and distasteful is putting it mildly, honestly.
Again, I think there's a difference between rappers and memers who can rhyme, and I'll let you guys interpret where we stand on that one.
So. And I've met Max. Like, yeah, it's been a few years, but genuinely a nice guy. Like, seemed like a good dude from my interactions with him. He just makes some strange choices.
If you ask my little brother, who doesn't care about, I mean, he cares about wrestling, but my little brother has this type of opinion. He's like, he wants to get fired. He's trying to get out of here. Again, my little brother is not the person you need to be taking wrestling advice from. Cause I was like, hey, what do you think about CM Punk? Electric chair. Like, hey, no!
Damn. I don't even know how to segue from that, but here's Sean.
Is your sex life stuck in developmental? Well, get ready for a call up with BlueChew.com and the code FIFL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but how about this? No awkward in-person visits, no trips to the pharmacy. It ships straight to your door in a discreet package. But let me tell you, your package is not going to be discreet when you use Blue Chew, and the code FIGHTFUL helps give you that confidence, that performance to take you straight to the main event, if you know what I'm saying. When approved online by one of our physicians, it just arrives straight to your door. You're not going to have people nosing around with what you're doing, and right now you get your first shipment free when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Go straight to the top, if you know what I mean. Memorable performance, high spot, you know, whatever other innuendos you can think of, BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
So going back to my original question is we got a run in on
just
the
digging
show.
In the garbage. I have to hold down this ECW champion.
But like, I totally understand. I do think the Acclaim winning this matchup was the right call because you had all of the build up to this with the Hurt Syndicate and MVP. And I think maybe that blows up at Full Gear.
I agree with that.
But I can't help but look at the fact that is Jake the Snake like cursed? Is like, are we, is he just destined to manage guys who aren't going to win matches? Like, I feel like he did this trade for, like, he trades off Lance Archer and Brian Cage, right? And like, now they're off and they're winning and they're like, now granted, I know Lance Archer lost to Roddy, but like they look like they're in a prime position with the Don Callis family to actually do something in the tag team division after Full Gear. And now LFI can't qualify and they losing with it. I have seen that man saunter away from the ring so dejected after his team loses over and over and over. I can't remember the last time one of his teams won. And I feel like I don't feel good. I don't feel good for LFI right now.
Jake,
they got a vicious man already.
Arn Anderson. What a wild promo. That lives rent-free in my mind. Honestly, I agree. I don't know what Jake the Snake is going to do here. I do agree again with the Acclaim beating LFI, even though I think LFI in a striking match would slap someone's nipples off. But I don't think that's the point here. I think this is a story-driven match. And again, if or when the Acclaim break up, this is just another reason why, like, if we look at another tag team similarly in another federation with the people who are not part of an old day, yesterday, you know, it's the same thing. Like, this is just another reason why you cut me off during promos. We lose here. We get to the big one. You mess it up. You're being cocky. I see it from that story perspective. So I'm not mad at it. And again, if this leads to something that happens with the Acclaim, I'm with it.
Yeah, for sure. And as people are bringing up in the chat, Hologram's injury may have, you know, derailed something to do with it with LFI there. So potentially there. We did see we saw the Conglomeration backstage tonight. Once again, perfect performance from Tomohiro Ishii. No notes. He absolutely nailed his promo tonight. As did Mark Briscoe. Look, the man is just a national treasure as he puts over Big Tom and tells Jericho to shine up that title and sleep with it and hold it extra tight and just let him know it's going bye-bye. It's probably not, to be completely honest with you. But I digress. This was, look, anytime Mark, it's hard to not smile when Mark Briscoe's on your TV screen.
Agreed. He's such, like, if you don't know wrestling, his person looks deranged, but this is the most wholesome of all the, he'll probably also another one who'll slap your nipples off, but I don't care. He could read the dictionary and just yell. I'm like, yes, whatever you said. I love Mark Briscoe. And also, again, Ishii, no notes. Rocky Romero, I always love seeing him there. But, like, Romero's like, I'm happy to be here. I don't care. What's going on? What's going on?
We did also hear from FTR after their loss to House of Black. They say they are pulling for the Outrunners at Full Gear there, Cresta. Do you think the Outrunners have a shot? Do you think this is any chance that somebody other than Private Party walks away with the tag team titles?
All I gotta see sucks for you, because in my hardest of hearts, as much as I love Outrunners and MXM, I know if y'all go anywhere near those titles right now, get to the back of the line. I'm not mad at Outrunners, but again, if we go back to the previous match with the Acclaimed, somebody gotta take the pin here. The Outrunners is mad hot. If you believe the internet wrestling community, House of Black don't do the job. You know what I mean? So who else? Who else got a motivation? I agree in this situation that the Outrunners shouldn't be pinned, because after Private Party, God forbid, knocking on wood, Allah, Buddha, Cthulhu, Jesus, whoever it is, hopefully none of these men, something happens to them. But if you need a knee jerk, who's up next? The Outrunners are literally right there and people would not bat an eye. It's like you have another shot at the Acclaimed when they were hot and to actually do it. And no one would be mad. And if the House of Black beat them, like, ah, you guys are jerry. Ah, shucks. But I wouldn't be mad either.
If House of Black wins that match, that would definitely shut a lot of people up about talking about Malakai. Like, what's up with his future? You know,
I'm so sick
like
of
that. That would stop
that
the
man.
Speculation train dead in its tracks. 100%. If that happened, I do think Private Party. No. I think Private Party wins this by pinning Max Caster. I think that is.
I do. I think that's what's the turning point. Or even if he pins Bowens and Caster's just like, nah, it's all fine. It's all fine. And the moment Bowens is as back to it, ah, I'm a hater. Ah, I'm a hater.
Our main event tonight, we opened up with a really fun women's match and we closed with two ladies who just beat the shit out of each other. It was Mariah May defending her AEW Women's Championship against Anna Jay. The grudge match. Anna Jay lost. She cannot challenge as long as it's around the glamour's waist for the AEW Women's Championship. And you knew this one was going to be a wild one, Cresta, with when in the first couple of minutes of this match, we're getting one woman hitting with a computer monitor. We're getting a shotgun drop kick with somebody wearing a trash can. And we're getting ladders pulled out from underneath the ring. Like, all of that within, like, the first few minutes. And then halfway through the match, they pull out a damn safety railing. And I'm like, well, what are they going to do with that? What are we doing with that that hunk of steel that ain't going to give for shit? And they set it up. And they do a superplex on top of it that hurt me. Like, yeah, my back started hurting when they did that spot. Like, damn. Like, props to both of them. They put themselves through it tonight. This was a lot of fun. Anna had the Queen Slayer with the barbed wire strapped in. But then, I don't know. Where did the spray bottle come in? I must have missed that because they cut it. Like, they edited it out. But all of a sudden, she just, like, reached out like it was in her pocket or something, pulls out, I'm guessing, hairspray or something, sprays it in Anna's face, and then she gets hit with the Storm Zero on top of the chair, and Mariah ends up winning this thing. I mean, this was an absolute car wreck, and it was fun, and I applaud both ladies.
I love professional wrestling. I love women's wrestling. Because I'm soft. There was no blood, and this was the appropriate amount of heart. I could take this. If there were blood, I would have scrumped. This match was fantastic. Bro, that shotgun drop kick with the garbage can, like 5 seconds in, was already enough.
the table being set up like a ramp, like you're about to go do an ollie off your skateboard just for Mariah May to throw Anna Jay in that. Gnarly. I gotta tell you, this match was so good. That safety rail, this match was stiffer than that alleged boxing match last night. Y'all know the one. Okay. This match was fantastic. I'm a little sad Anna Jay can't challenge again. I understand why you wouldn't want this to get repetitive. But after something like that, it's like, all right, so what are we doing with Anna Jay? Because at this point, this is like, I feel like the second, third, fourth time Anna Jay's proven that she's that girl. She can be that girl. Just give her the ball. So what are we doing with Anna Jay? What are we doing here? Like, I don't want to have to, I don't want to have to yell at you, Mr. Khan, but like the meat division, you know, like,
you know, we were asking who could take the belt off Mercedes.
I feel like she had a match against Mercedes.
Yeah, but not right now. Like, let her keep racking up some wins, earn her way back up to it, and
let her cook.
Yeah, see, why not? Down the road, whenever you're ready to move on. But yeah, Anna Jay's another one of these, like, especially since, you know, she went overseas and she came back. Mm-hmm. Like, just, she's another one that just keeps getting better and better. Every time she's out there, like we were talking about with Harley Cameron. My biggest question after this is, okay, what are we doing with Mariah? Because we now, Mina Shirakawa came out and they're celebrating and they're dancing and everything's happy. And at Full Gear, we don't have a women's title match at Full Gear, not for the AEW women's title. No, we're getting a champagne celebration. Tony Storm coming. Is this the reintroduction of Tony Storm, or is Mina Shirakawa about to pop some champagne and then bust the bottle over Mariah's head, and those two are going to end up going at one another?
I hate to say this. I don't think it's either of that, love. Mm. I think there's a tag team on the horizon with Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie and Mina Shirakawa and Mariah May.
They were watching. And they were not happy with tonight's result. I
think after that, then we get Mina versus Mariah. Like, hey, where's my title shot? You're giving everybody else a title shot, Mariah. I thought we were friends. I thought we were lovers. What's happening? So I think there's at least one more thing in there, because I want something. I need something for Mariah. I need what we have with Toni Storm, with somebody. I need the steak. I'm getting a lot of mashed potatoes, and the mashed potatoes are good, but I can only have garlic mashed potatoes so many times. So I'm hoping we get that with Mina, but I would hate. Just for it to wait till Toni Storm gets back. It'll be good, but I think that's a disservice to Mariah May to wait.
It feels like that's what the plan has been. Or should I say lack of a plan?
Yeah. Like,
her match with Willow was great, but it's really hard for me to find any major highlights in Mariah's title runs thus far, because there hasn't been a whole lot for her to sink her teeth into. It feels very much they had this great plan. They had this great plan for Mariah from her debut all the way to winning the championship. And it was almost flawless, the delivery, the execution of it. And then from like minute one after that, it was like, y'all put any thought into that? Like her first promo afterwards just felt really, really flat and didn't really deliver, didn't really hit. I don't know if it was the material. I don't know if she was having an off night on the microphone, but like it just hasn't seemed like there's been a concrete plan, or at least as good a one, with her having the title. It's like, all right, we got this great plan to put it on her, and then what? And it feels like she's been in a holding pattern waiting for Tony to show back up again, and then it's like, okay.
There are things you could do, and I don't like to compare people, but I do it all the time just so people can be like, this is like, in this situation, Mariah needs to face a Britt Baker. She needs to face a Thunder Rosa in a substantial match. Because whether you like these two women or not, these are like low-key, high-key. These are the opportunity. These are the standards. Those are your Charlotte Flairs. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I hate to say it like that. But these are the women that, if you're going to put a feather in your cap, these are the women you want to beat. Because a Britt Baker on that microphone is disgusting. She's so rude. And Thunder Rosa, even if you can beat her on the microphone, you can't whoop her in that ring. Even if you pin her, you can't whoop her. You know what I mean? So, right. I would want something like that for Mariah.
So Mariah May has had since she won the belt on August 25th at All In London. That's when she beat Toni Storm. She beat Nyla Rose, Yuka Sakazaki, Willow Nightingale, and now Anna Jay twice. That's it. That's as far as title matches are concerned. That's what she's got. And now, nothing wrong with Nyla. I'm a huge fan of Nyla. I'm a fan of Yuka. But and like I said, Willow, the match with Willow at Wrestle Dream, that's been the highlight. Mm-hmm. She worked really well with Anna Jay. So she's starting to build up some momentum. Tonight's matchup was really great. So that's another highlight there. But coming right out of the gate and not having going from, you know, all the rest of August all through September and then halfway through October before you really got your first big marquee pay-per-view title defense, it really kind of feels, I'll go back to WrestleMania 35. It feels like, okay, you crowned Becky Lynch, great. And then your first opponent out of the gate is Lacey Evans, who literally has just been walking down the ramp.
She was a wrestler.
Like, you did all of that. You had her beat Ronda Rousey to go to Lacey Evans?
Yeah. No, I think there needs
bad,
to be
that's bad post planning.
We need post-planning. Some sort of meet. Yeah, agreed. Like, again, I love Nyla Rose. I just think that they have positioned Nyla Rose to be your gatekeeper. She's the first girl, like kind of like a Lance Archer situation, which I think sucks because these are both fantastic talents. But I want some, you know, some meat to it. And even the feud with Nyla, I've seen what Nyla can do when she was, I think it was Britt Baker, when she was just stealing her title, talking about, I'm the champion. It's like, yo, you're not the champ. You just stole my title. Yo, get out of here. Like, it was something like that. Even if it was Teehee, Shits and Gigs, give Mariah something so everyone can eat here. Even if you did like Saraya, Harley, Cameron being extra annoying, like, yo, I'm not like you, bro. I just because we're both from the UK, I'm not like her, but you could be like, no, we're not. You could do something where everyone eats. It just, it feels like you said, it feels like you had this great meat and potatoes and then afterwards the doggy bag is only mashed potatoes. And the mashed potatoes are good. But where the fuck is my prime rib? Where's my steak? Yeah. Where's my pork chop?
Yeah. Look, both companies have a problem with their women's main event scene. And the fact that they struggle to build up who's next. They have that problem. Like Monday Night Raw's got a problem with Rhea Ripley out. Like, okay, well, who's next behind Rhea?
Power vacuum.
Io, great. Okay, Io's great. And she's building up momentum. And that's fine. But like, yeah, they got some issues there. They can do a main event title scene, but you can also build up people underneath as well. And I think both. I hate to say that. I said this last night on a SmackDown review. Like I feel like an extra hour somewhere in the week could be really beneficial for a lot of people in AEW and WWE somewhere.
But if we think about just this show in particular, there are. Let me take out my note because Crest of Stars are grandma. There was the Mina Shirakawa segment, the MXM commercial, which was I thought was a segment, the conglomeration segment, and then backstage with FTR. These were three segments that we could have did something else to further someone else's character along. That there's Queen Aminata. Like, I wouldn't even mind going to revisit a Nyla Rose, but let's build it up. If we're going to do Anna Jay, this was great. This match was a barn burner, but why did it have to take her? She can't challenge for the title anymore. There are things that I feel we could do to. Oh, no, sorry. My cats are having Kitten Fight Club. It's hardcore match time because they're taking too long to talk about wrestling. But yeah, to finish my thought, I think that if we just reorganize the show or some segments, we could be doing furthering along someone else. Like, you have Deonna Purrazzo, Taya Valkyrie. Yeah, they're great together, but they were separate for a long time. There are things we could do. That's just my two cents. I'm getting off my Russell soapbox.
I mean, we had a 9-minute video package that closed the show.
That's why I can be on my soapbox.
We had a nine minute video package. That followed a 3-minute promo. So we had 12 minutes of tape. And now granted, all of it was on tape, but you get what I'm saying. Our main event ended at 47 tonight. Like, it ended at 9:47 tonight. Dante NYC with a super chat. Through no fault of her own, Mariah's reign has been lackluster. I'm hoping things pick up for her soon. Either way, really happy to see the AEW's women's division heating up. Hopefully it continues. Now, granted, it is picking up. it is picking up. Like I said, the Wrestle Dream with Willow was great. The three matches that she's had with Anna Jay have been really, really good. So now it's, where do we go from here? Is it Deonna Purrazzo? Is it Taya Valkyrie? Is it Britt Baker? Is it Thunder Rosa? You have options.
Is it Camille?
You have options. There are options out there. So hopefully they're cooking up something pretty good for her here. What did we think of John Moxley's promo here to close the show? Last thing we're going to talk about here, because we don't need to recap the Guns N' Roses video. I thought this was another really, really strong promo, calling Orange Cassidy cold-blooded, saying, I didn't realize it. You're not lazy. You don't hide your card. You're just cold-blooded. You don't care. You don't care about anything. Did you even visit, I'm drawing a blank. Whose neck did he break?
Chuck Taylor.
Yeah, thank you. Did you even visit Chuck Taylor? Like, I was expecting you to curl up in a ball or cry or come out and, kick the shit out of me. You didn't do either. You did none of those things. You just stand back with your mitts in your pockets. Then he's talking about how he's gonna take Orange Cassidy, he's gonna make an example out of him. He's gonna rub his blood on the flag of the Death Riders and plant it firmly in the middle of the ring to stake the claim over AEW. I mean, John Moxley is a really, really strong promo. He has a way of describing things that are very unique. That's just very new, unique to Moxley. What did you think of this one?
I'll be real with you. I got it, but I didn't like it. Is it me? Do I not understand pro wrestling? Like, I get it.
I mean, you're allowed to not like things. It's okay.
Okay, I'm a jabroni. I mean, like, so I get it. I get it. You're trying to push Orange Cassidy over this edge to make him be super serious Orange Cassidy. And rather than cold-blooded, I think the word you're really looking for is apathy at its best. But it's like, I feel like you've said this before. You're like, oh, what you gonna do? Beat up Willa Yuta? Okay, y'all beat up Willa Yuta. What the fuck?
Who hasn't beat up Willa Yuta?
Like,
I beat up Willa Yuta when I interviewed him.
Trent's mom beat up Willa Yuta. What are you talking about? Everybody beats up Willa Yuta. I get what you're trying to do. However, I don't think Orange Cassidy beats you. And I think that it just cements the Death Rise. And I don't know who beats you. If this is supposed to be a hard reset, John Moxley is a good promo. And I think he's a preacher in another life. Him and Samoa Joe could finesse people out of their money just by talking. Absolutely. But in this situation, I'm like, okay, I don't watch wrestling. Maybe I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for Cresta Star.
Yeah. So okay. I think to make an analogy here, I run into this problem at work all the time, right? If there is like a slow news day, for those who don't know, I'm a morning radio news anchor. That's the day job. That's the shoot job. On days when it's slow and there's nothing to talk about, and I have to write the same story five times to make it sound new, but it's still the same story. I think that's kind of maybe where Mox, at least for you, kind of fell into the place here, where he found a new way to say the same thing, but he still said the same thing over again. Like, there's not a whole lot that's left to be said. It's just time to fight. I think that's where it's coming from you. Not to put words in your mouth, but I think
you articulated it better than I could, because that's exactly where I'm at. No, you're absolutely right. Like, I've seen this before, and I've seen in chat, like, well, he's there with Marina. Marina always looks badass. Like, don't get me wrong. Marina looks like she can beat up a lot. That's not the problem. I just feel like, again, you're saying Orange Cassidy's not ready, and I'm going to beat him up because he's not ready. How do you – that's what you've been saying. You're going to beat him up. You want him to be ready, and he's not ready, and you're going to beat him up.
We get it. You're taking over AEW. We got it.
Turn him into a blood orange. We get it.
Get with us or get out of the way. We got it.
And even when they get with you, you still beat them up. Will you? There's no winning here.
Oh, poor Yuta. We'll see how that matchup goes on Wednesday, but I have a feeling Yuta's going to end up getting his ass kicked one way or the other. Maybe more than one.
No matter who wins, Yuta still loses.
Yeah. Even if he wins, you didn't beat him fast enough.
Yo, somehow Willie Yuta will still end up in a Claudio swing.
Oh, Lord.
Justice for Yuta. Yuta's the real victim here.
Cresta, what you got going on? Where can people find your stuff?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm out here. You can find me, most importantly, on Blue Sky now. Everyone's got one. So it's Crest of the Blue Sky, whatever the thing is. But every Friday, sorry, Saturday and Thursday, I am here on Fightful covering TNA and Collision. What's the word? Respectively, yes.
You got it.
Wednesday, I'm live on Twitch and TikTok going over all AEW stuff. And no, I don't show it on screen because I don't want to get DMCA'd. And follow me on social media. Anywhere you can type Cresta Star. Sorry. You can find me, except for Twitter. X is Cresta the Star, but I'm about to shut that down. So follow me on Blue Sky, Cresta Star. Rick, where can they find you?
I am also on Blue Sky. Now I am at, I think it's, I'm trying to figure this out. Because, okay, so it's Rick Dash Uchino. Okay, I had to put the dash in there because I either created a Blue Sky account years ago and a year ago and I forgot about it, or somebody has already spoofed me because there's just a plain Rick Uchino that I don't have access to. So somebody already stole my name, but that one doesn't have a profile picture. So if you look at Rick Dash Uchino as it's spelled on the screen, that's the X thing. I don't know if I'm getting rid of X, but I'm going to use Blue Sky more often when I do my wrestling tweet stuff now, including that's where I'm going to be putting out my interview first that I have on Wednesday. I'm going to drop that on Friday ahead of Full Gear. I don't want to say who I'm interviewing because I don't like to jinx things, but I'll just say this much. She has a match at Full Gear. And it's not Chris Statlander. So I'm looking forward to doing that interview next week and putting it out for Sports Illustrated, because that's where I do a lot of my pro wrestling work, is over on the Takedown on SI. So you guys can also watch that on the Takedown on SI YouTube channel. Just search it. And then, hey, while you're there, give us a like and a subscribe while you're at it. We just made this channel like a month ago. And we already got 400 subscribers. So I'll take as many as we can possibly get. We are on the come up. We got a long way to go to catch Fightful, that's for sure. So like this video, hit that thumbs up, widen the gap, and make Sean happy. We appreciate everybody who joined us here tonight. Next week, obviously, will be a Full Gear post show. I don't know who's on that. Y'all just have to wait. I do know we're all going to be on the Survivor Series post show, though.
Hey, Lamau. That's great. We're surviving. Well,
yes.
Phil's not. It's all of us against Phil. All three of us against Phil, so we're jumping Phil. This is not a bloodline match.
Oh man, just cramming a bunch of different hosts together, much like that women's War Games match, just throwing shit together and seeing what sticks. We'll see.
We're the bar now. We're the bar.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody.
Bye.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.